Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. There was stunning testimony on Tuesday from a former Baltimore police detective as opening arguments began in the federal trial of two Baltimore detectives who were members of the corrupt undercover gun trace task force. They're accused of a long list of charges, including robbery, racketeering, collecting overtime hours not served, and a lot of other charges, too. Detectives Daniel Herschel and Marcus Taylor pleaded not guilty, but six other officers charged have already pled guilty, with several expected to testify for the prosecution. Brian Kubler is an investigative reporter for ABC affiliate WMAR-TV in Baltimore. He was in the courtroom as a former detective named Maurice Ward described shocking details behind this corrupt operation. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Todd.
There was some incredible testimony on Tuesday from Maurice Ward. What did he have to say?
For the press corps here in Baltimore that have been covering this trial and the Baltimore Police Department, we have been waiting for this trial because we have been trying to gather details of this case ever since it broke. The indictment came down on March 1st, 2017, and we were not let down. The first government witness was a former detective, Maurice Ward, that was part of this gun unit. He had pleaded guilty back in July and was part of the government's case. And as he was on the stand for the entire afternoon yesterday, the assistant U.S. attorney prodded him into basically telling the jury how this gun trace task force would work. We were able to learn some of their techniques called door pops or dope boy cars or sneak and peeks. These are all tactics this gun unit would use in order to shake down citizens and rob them and extort them. And we also heard more about how they were able to fraud the system and bilk overtime bills from the Baltimore City Police Department.
I mean, Maurice Ward talked about robbing homes, rolling up on people on the street, trying to get them to flee, illegal searches, planting guns on people. The list goes on. Flesh out some of the crazy details here.
Well, we heard the term door pops. Door pops apparently were a tactic where they would pull up aggressively on a group of people on the street, and they would pop open a door in order to see who would run. And then they would run after that person, they would tackle him, and then they would search him. The goal was always to get guns in this gun unit. It's always to get guns. And as long as they were producing, as they were high producers and taking guns off the streets, a lot of people would turn their heads. And so after that, they would get these guns and they would then get drugs and they would get money. A lot of times the drugs would go to the sergeant, in which he would then resell. And the money was then split up between all of the officers that were working that day. We also heard a term called dope boy cars, where the sergeant of the unit would say that Hondas and Acuras are usually driven by what he would call dope boys. And so they would pull them over for no reason at all other than the car they were driving. And they would search those cars in order to try and get guns and try and get drugs and try and get money. And the third technique that we learned about yesterday was called sneak and peeks, where they would gain entry into homes before they would get a warrant to see if there was anything in the house worth stealing. Then they would get the warrant and then come back and fill out the legitimate warrant for that search.
Brian, it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that we're talking about police officers. It's like something out of the movies. At one point, prosecutors took a hockey bag and dumped it out in the courtroom, and it was full of equipment that the cops were using.
It was quite a moment. Todd, I can tell you they pulled out two giant hockey bags full of equipment. And then the assistant U.S. attorney had Detective Ward come down off the stand and pull out things in the bag that he found familiar. He pulled out black Halloween masks. He pulled out black face masks, black clothing, black gloves. He said at one point they would try to dress as and hide their identities and call themselves federal officers in some raids. And then the other bag, as it hit the floor, it made a big metal clanking noise. And that's when the entire courtroom kind of stopped and was looking and listening. And at that point, they were pulling out heavy-duty crowbars, heavy-duty lock cutters they would use to gain entry into these houses to do their quote-unquote sneak and peeks. It was quite an incredible moment in court yesterday.
Brian, is there any indication that the stunning level of corruption and crime that six officers have already pled guilty to goes higher than just the gun trace task force to any leadership in the Baltimore police or that anybody else knew about what was going on?
That is a question that we just simply don't know. The highest rank that pleaded guilty were two sergeants in this unit. One of them, Sergeant Wayne Jenkins, was the ringleader from what we can gather in most of the documents that we were able to receive and in a lot of the testimony yesterday. The four officers that are cooperating with the federal system and the prosecution here are all detectives. And so we don't know if those two sergeants that pleaded guilty are also working with the federal government. There have been rumors, but there's nothing to substantiate that this goes beyond this one rogue unit at this point.
People might remember we talked about it on this show several weeks ago, the death of former Detective Sean Souter, scheduled to testify in this trial. He wound up getting killed.
Yeah, 2017 was a bad year for Baltimore. The city had the worst murder rate it's had per capita ever recorded. As an exclamation point, on the end of that year was Detective Sean Souter's killing. That remains unsolved. And all that does is fuel a lot of theories out there in the city, none of which can anyone lay claim to that is true. All we know is that he was scheduled to testify in this case the next day after his murder. But the FBI has said that it does not involve this case at all.
We talked a little bit about who knew what outside of this unit, but separately, some high-profile resignations among officials in Baltimore who were supposed to be helping to reform the Baltimore PD.
Yeah, that's a very recent development that happened on Tuesday evening. So the commissioner was fired on Friday by the mayor. Then on Tuesday, one of his deputy commissioners and then a chief were also resigned. Those two positions were key in helping move this city along in the consent decree that it signed last year with the Department of Justice. And so there's an open question as to how that will affect that process under this new leadership.
After Maurice Ward's testimony in this trial of two police officers, what's next?
Well, it's going to be the cross-examination on Thursday. This trial takes a break on Wednesday, and it will resume again tomorrow. Detective Ward was on the stand the entire afternoon. The defense will now have a chance to cross-examine him as we open court on Thursday. And you have to understand there are two sets of defense attorneys because there are two defendants. And so, therefore, this could take a while. The judge says this could take 3 to 4 weeks. And after yesterday, it may take every bit of 3 to 4 weeks to complete this case.
Brian Kubler, investigative reporter with WMAR-TV in Baltimore. Brian, thanks for bringing us up to date.
Thanks for having me.
The Takeaway is supported by Moo, offering print products and 24/7 online customer care service to help businesses of any size. Learn more at Moo.com.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.